Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Man, you know, the repeat guest thing is fun for me because, one, you know, the first time you have someone on, there's a little nervousness of not knowing these people, and then the second time you have them on, it's more friendly, like you know them a little better. So this week we went up to Dallas and we went up to Fan Expo in Dallas. Great event. I got to tell you, the vocal group, Dana Cobb, their entire PR team are absolutely incredible. And we were slated to interview both Katie Sackhoff, the Star Wars. There's a lot about to happen with Star Wars, and the Trailer Park Boys. And unfortunately, the Trailer Park Boys had to cancel last minute. We had a little bit of a timing issue. Those events are pretty hectic and always full of surprises. However, I did get to sit down with Katie Sackhoff. We got to play catch up. Usually when someone does the show, they're here to promote something. And Katie wasn't. We came to promote Parenthood. Last time she was on the show, she was just engaged to her fiance, Robin Gadsby. And since then, she's gotten married and had a baby. And as many of you know, Katie has been a big proponent of fighting cancer for many years, and she had cancer at a young age. And they used a surrogate, had a beautiful baby girl, and we sat down for about an hour and just we had a few drinks, we played catch up, we talked a little bit about Star Wars, but more than anything, we talked about her foray. In my head, I want to say foyer. That's a room in your house. Her foyer into Parenthood. So we had a little Waterford. We actually brought the prideful goat. We didn't get to it. Speaking of which, at Fan Expo, I was about to say I love when we get to travel. We get to try sushi in new markets, new places. And so in Dallas, all I did was spend the day kind of looking for fun food and fun sushi in the area, which reminded me of Uchiko, who had just opened here in Houston. And we went and checked them out. It was an incredible sushi spot. Uchi has always been an incredible sushi spot here in Houston. Uchiko, which I believe is related to Uchi, is absolutely brilliant and fantastic. And I believe they have a branch of that up in the DFW area as well. So I can't recommend them enough if you're in Houston to check them out. Real quick, we have expanded Prideful Goat into Oklahoma. It is now available with premium brands, wines, and spirits. Of course, Waterford, our regular sponsor. Big shout out to Waterford. Waterford, we've talked about them for years. This one in particular, I started drinking before we started filming. The Dunbell Edition 1.1. Single farm, single origin, Irish single malt whiskey. The word single is mentioned so many times that it's on the box. They had to put a code in there. You go to the website, glassrev.com/Waterford. I mean, everything you'd want to know about the product is available. The seasonal cycle, who the farmers were that raised the grains for this batch. It's an incredible, incredible Irish whiskey company, Irish single malt whiskey company, and I couldn't be happier with them, and I thank them again for their support. So one last shout out to Fan Expo in Dallas. I just want to thank everyone, Dana and her team, again, for just being so incredible. Without further ado, please welcome this week's guest, best friend of mine, best parent friend of mine, Katie Sackhoff. Cheers. Katie, I don't think we've actually shaken hands yet. Can we shake hands?
I think we can.
Yeah,
I think we can.
Very nice to meet you. Fully vaccinated.
Me too. I mean, boosted everything.
The whole nine yards.
Nine enchiladas.
I got it all. And I tested positive
for
Christmas.
Did you?
Yeah.
You know what? I keep knocking on wood because I haven't had it, and I've been with people in like a whole room when someone else has gotten, or you know, a bunch of people have had it, and then I haven't gotten it. So I don't know. It's gonna get me.
Yeah. Well, knowing you, you strike me as someone who's extremely athletic, who works out a lot. Plus, I saw the sauna that you guys just built.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it does happen, it'll be a lot easier.
It'll be mild.
It was very quick.
Oh, good.
The only thing that was weird was backache. I had a backache for like a couple days. No, I still have my smell, sense of taste, which is important.
Thank God.
You know, cheers.
I tend to think, though, that if it, like, maybe we had it and just didn't test positive. I don't know. I don't know how I could possibly be in a room with everyone that gets it and not get it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. It was kind of a running joke for a long time. People were saying, oh, I had it back in February, you know, when it first came out, and it was nothing. And then I actually got it, and I was like, I definitely did not have it before. It's one of those things that it actually, when I got it, it was kind of a sense of relief.
Yeah, that's sort of how I would feel, I'd think. Because it's sort of, you know, get it out of the way.
Get out of the way. The only thing that makes me nervous, which, by the way, we got to get into this, and I'm dying to talk to you about this. So the last time I talked to you, you weren't married yet.
Mm.
I've actually talked to your husband a little bit online. I think he's absolutely amazing.
No, it's the best decision I ever made.
He seems so great. And then also, since the last time we talked, you became a mother.
I did. I know.
And I remember my jaw dropping at sometime around Christmas, seeing you had this beautiful baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Ginevra.
Ginevra.
Yeah, Ginevra Grace Gadsby.
GGG.
Uh-huh. She's either going to be like a professional athlete or a serial killer.
Sure, like, sure. A three-part,
three
names. Is she going
to carve her initials into people's scalps or something? I don't know.
Talk to me about it. I've got four myself.
Yeah.
Five and six.
Yeah.
16, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Big girls and little kids. It's the most exhausting. I mean, I'm 34. I'm the same age as your husband.
Like a year older, yeah.
And, but I look 40. And it's four kids will do that to you. How are you sleeping?
I'm so tired.
You're so tired. I mean, you've been up since four today, right?
I'm so tired.
You just start crying.
Yeah, they're crying. I didn't honestly think it was possible to be so tired and still function. Like, there are days where I am like driving a car and I'm like, I feel like it says do not operate heavy machinery when you feel like this. Like, just, you're just so tired all the time that you actually stop realizing how tired you are.
My wife and I decided to have to do a second round. The four kids are 10 years apart.
Holy Hannah.
And it got to a point where I remember I had to pull over on the side of the road just to take a nap because I was falling asleep behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's worse than drunk driving. So
yeah.
We live kind of in the suburbs, so there was like this one spot. It would be like my nap spot on the way home from work.
Your nap spot.
I was exhausted. I was exhausted.
Yeah. The things that you realize, like I had thought ignorantly that my job had in some way prepared me for lack of sleep, because I work crazy hours, they're inconsistent, long days, physical days, on your feet, your brain is tired, you're memorizing dialogue. I honestly thought that I was like,
I got this.
Until my first 36 hours of not sleeping and then going to work with like monologues of dialogue and just standing in front of like the director with like my shoulders started to shake and just like tears streaming down my face. And I'm like, I'm totally fine.
Can I just take a nap?
And then I was like, I'm so tired. I just had no idea. It is truly the great equalizer. The great equalizer. It's the most humbling thing I've ever done in my entire life. So
I've just realized something. I just finished my drink. I realized I never poured you something. I'm so sorry.
It's totally fine. It's probably the most sober I'll be.
Yeah. Irish thing. Well, I figured after today you deserve a drink.
I do. Someone said to me, I'm so sorry. I hope at some point you get some sleep. And I said, I am sleeping in a hotel room without my 6-month-old child. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Okay.
The one of the I'm a very gregarious person, but there's this aspect of travel where it isn't. I read a book today.
Right, you read a book?
Yeah, like it was.
Like you didn't listen to it on tape while you walked and tried to exercise.
Some of it on tape on the way to the hotel, but I actually sat down for 2 hours and I was reading a book, and it's like there's this dichotomy of like, I want to be around my family all the time, but it's actually nice to take 2 nights to come to Dallas in silence and to sleep in. And it's fantastic.
You have to. I have found that like you truly, it is so easy to lose yourself in your children and to lose your relationship in your children because
Ooh.
Everything becomes about your child.
Sure.
And you realize that's all you talk about. It's all you think about. It's literally like everything. you have to have those moments where you are being selfish and you're taking time for yourself. And I even said to my husband, maybe we should, you know, in October, like go to Mexico for 2 nights by ourselves. And we were both like, oh, can we do that? Like, I don't know. She won't even be a year old. And I was like, we have to do something. Like, not because our relationship is anything but
sure.
as beautiful really as it's ever been. Right? Of course. But we have to do that. You have to remember that you need to be yourself first. And for me, being the strongest version of myself makes me the strongest parent I can be.
Well, this is always something I've had trouble putting into words, but it is to me the most important part about being married.
Mm.
And that is, and hear me out. I'm going to say it and then let me shape it. Is you have to put your marriage first. And what I mean by that is, if we're stranded on an island and there's one piece of pizza left between all three of us, I'm not gonna take it. I know she's not gonna take it. We're gonna both equally be on the same page and give it to our child.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make time to be married, to have those breaks, to get away from it. And it doesn't make you a bad parent to take those breaks.
No.
They're important. And luckily, I mean, not to brag, but we're 16 years in, you know?
Like, yeah.
We've been together a very long time, and it took obviously sacrifice for the family, but put each other first, at least sometimes,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I say this all the time. I mean, there's a reason they tell you on a plane to put your mask on yourself first before you put it on your child.
Ooh.
Because if you're not alive, your child is worthless.
That's great.
They're not gonna make it without you. So if you're not taking the time for yourself and giving yourself the oxygen that you need to be the best version of yourself, your child is not going to excel.
Sure.
They're just not. Because they're going to see a parent who's half of what they could be, in my opinion.
Sure. No, I don't disagree with you at
yeah.
all. And you know, I know everyone's like, you know, all right, get to the Star Wars stuff.
Let,
the family, but I'm just, I was so excited for you.
Thank you.
You know, I've been following you a while, and I tell my wife all the time, I'm really sad that we're past that phase in our life. Like, we're not going to have a newborn anymore.
Well, you think that.
No, well, we can't now.
Okay, all right.
Hint, hint. We can't anymore. But I am genuinely sad that phase is over. And when we started over after the two oldest were such an important part of our beginning of our marriage,
yeah.
of our beginning of our relationship, that I remember, I don't know who said it, Jordan Peterson or someone, but there was like this quote that basically was like, there's gonna come a day where you set your child down and you never pick them back up again. And you never remember when that moment is, because it's all after the fact. And I don't remember when that moment was.
Oh my
was.
God, I'm crying now.
I know, I'm trying. Don't,
are
if you,
but,
cry, I'm just, stop. But, stop, Katie.
But are you like the most, I was watching Ratatouille last night with Robin, and at some point I started crying and I looked at him and I went, oh my God, I'm crying at Ratatouille. And he goes, baby, I just got emotional too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's this moment, something happens where your heart is literally broken open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's exposed to the world now. And I'm so much more in touch with my emotions than I've ever been, ever.
Being a parent 100% did that.
Yeah.
I remember the first time my oldest cried at a movie. And I'm trying not to cry. You better cut all this out. It was Kung Fu Panda. I'll never forget. It was Kung Fu Panda, and at the beginning, when he loses his parents, they like die or something.
Breaking.
My daughter must have been five, but it was the first time that my child expressed the emotional intelligence to feel something in a movie.
Yeah.
And it freaking broke me, man.
Yeah.
I just bawled like a baby watching her cry, and it kills me. So I again, we'll get to the other stuff, but I was dying to talk about being a mother, because you also mentioned recently that you've been thinking about the retirement. Was that a flipping thing, or?
It wasn't, it was tough, you know, because our daughter's birth was not a normal birth. I was able to go back to work immediately. And I was on a show where it was not an option for me to take time in the middle. So we worked out what my schedule was gonna look like, and I went right back to work. And that was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, because I felt like such an awful human. I was like, we wanted this baby so bad, and I'm not there.
Right.
But everybody, you know, my mother-in-law, so many people were like, you are there. This is what you're doing. You're doing this for your family. It's only 2 more months. You're home every night. You're there every morning. Your daughter will never know that you weren't here, and right. she will know you did it for your family. So that helped. But there were days where I was driving to work just like crying my eyes out, leaving a two-week-old going, what am I doing? And I only work 15 minutes away.
Sure.
So they came to work. But like, it was tough. And I was like, I think this may be that moment. I think I might be done.
Do you think still I might feel be that done. Way? I feel like there's a lot happening.
There's... I think that there is a part of me that has been doing this for so long that I am ready for simplicity.
Oh, sure.
And I'm craving that life.
And it's great. This is a great phase, too. I always say the first 2 years are for mom. The first year is for mom. The toddler phase is for dad. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's the freaking best. because the first year, she's so attached to you and they love you so much. And dad is not really relevant in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's not until they can start reaching for you, or, you know, I remember the first time I shaved my beard and my daughter cried her eyes out, thought I was a stranger. Like the toddler phase is for dad, right?
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, you have time and you're right. Your mother-in-law is a saint because, she's not gonna remember this right now.
No.
Things are okay. You're don't beat yourself up, but, it's hard. And I'm telling you, I'm sympathizing a lot with your posts lately, especially the butt one earlier. Between your airline seat getting mixed up and you not knowing which end to put a thermometer in.
It occurred to me when my daughter has finally started getting colds and we've been putting thermometers up her bum. And it occurred to me at some point, we're going to need a thermometer as adults. I don't know if I'm going to go to my husband and be like, will you tell me what my temperature is? Because I can't see it. So I was like, I'm going to buy another thermometer. So I bought another thermometer and I thought to myself, don't mix them up.
Yeah.
I said, babe, where's your label maker? And he goes, what are you doing? And I typed it out and I was like, not for butts.
I remember the, what was that movie, Idiocracy? When he's like, you put this one in your mouth, this one in your butt. No, you put this one in your butt, this one in your mouth. As I spill Irish whiskey all over myself.
But it's true. It's the things that you know, it's just the things that you do as a parent that become so freaking humorous. But at the same time, you know, like we talked about doing things for yourself. I've been working for 30 years to get to the point in my career that I'm at now. I can't possibly walk away without experiencing the opportunities that are coming my way.
That was kind of, I mean, it's not my place to offer advice or say what to do, what not to do, but that's one of the things I was hinting at is that I think that there's a lot of things happening for you right now that a lot of people are very excited for, including yourself.
Mm.
That it, you know, your hint on Facebook or on Instagram of potentially retiring, it was like, but what about this? What about that? You know, there's all these things that are in development. And speaking of which, I'm going to pester you about a couple, which I know you can't possibly talk about, but I'm going to say it anyways. Is that your first sip?
It is.
It's 100 proof Irish whiskey, Irish single malt whiskey.
You told me last time what to do.
I did. And you didn't do it.
And I didn't do it.
You've got to take a sip.
And leave it in your mouth.
Leave it in your mouth. Let your mouth adjust.
Guys.
And if you swallow and you breathe fire, that means you swallow too soon.
I'll be fine. I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah, my tears are also from the whiskey, not the kid stuff, I swear.
Not Kung Fu Panda.
I'm telling you, the first time you see your children have emotional intelligence, it'll crush you in the best possible way.
Okay, take two.
All right, so I'm a Star Wars fan. Obviously, I think that's a lot of people say that, but there's levels to that. It's such a complicated universe. There was one thing I had a question on, and if it's already been answered, we'll just cut it out. I wanted to know, since my understanding is you're back for season 3.
Yes.
That's been announced.
It's been announced.
Safe.
I can finally talk about it.
Yes. And there's a gap between, you know, obviously the animated series, and Mandalorian, where they talk about Bo-Katan having the Darksaber and running Mandalore,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, Giancarlo Esposito has it.
And we flash forward and she has it. She no longer has it anymore.
Correct.
So what happened?
And no one knows what happened. And honestly, in the last, I think it was Boba Fett, the book of Boba Fett, that they talked about how she had it and she screwed it up. She messed up. She did something wrong.
She is a cautionary tale.
Yes. So as someone who cares so much about this character, did that piss you off? You're like, wait, what? After all this time, I just got it. I'm finally running it. I'm a good guy now. It started off as a bad guy.
Misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
She was bad. It's fine.
But I wondered, as someone who's now, you're diving in much more in person to this role. Were you concerned about the gap? Do you know what happened yet? You have to tell me.
I do know what happened.
Okay.
I do.
But at first, when you first heard that there was this gap, did you know at the time?
I knew there was a gap. I mean, knowing the character as well as I do, knowing where she was the last time we saw her in Rebels and Clone Wars, and then seeing Mandalorian being like, dude got my Darksaber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I knew there was like a very extreme gap. So I definitely text, you know, Dave Filoni and was like,
what'd you do to her?
What the heck happened? So, I'm just excited. I'm excited for everyone to see.
So, you know, okay. So
it's a character that's had a ton of growth, in my opinion.
Insane growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I'm being honest, there's so far into Obi-Wan, people are a little disappointed. And some people, you can't please everybody for sure.
No, of course not.
But this man that was, I mean, it was so beautiful, that final fight in episode 3. And then all of a sudden he gets confronted with Darth Vader again, and you're so excited to see this standoff again, and he just is impotent. So I'm hoping that retribution comes full circle. So
I think, in my opinion, I don't know, I'm just a fan watching Obi-Wan, they're setting up for it to be, you know what I mean?
And that's what you hope, right?
You
it's
hope.
Right there, right?
You hope. And that is the greatest hope of anyone who's writing a show, and then the people that are creating a show, that you hope there's a payoff for people. You hope that they follow you on this journey and it actually is worthwhile to them, and they feel, you know, like they didn't waste 8 hours of their life. You know what I mean?
I am excited. I know that, I think you hinted the last time you were on the show that Bo-Katan was going to be expounded on in some way. I think there's hopes. And she actually told me off air, y'all don't know this, but she's actually a Force user. It's not been released yet.
Could you imagine?
Well, there was one other one, right?
My phone's going to start dinging.
Yeah,
Disney
yeah.
is going to be like, what did you do?
Yeah, that's true. Weak now. Cut it out. No, she didn't say any of that. But no, from my understanding, again, I was looking into Bo-Katan's history, but there was one Mandalorian that actually...
Used the Force.
Uh-huh. So, if I had to say who's the people champ right now, it's between you and Din Djarin. Is mm-hmm. that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so both of you are super well-loved. And I think there's a lot of, like, real potential in what happens next, so.
There's a lot of risk to where they go next.
I'm pouring another one real quick. All right, so I noticed that you, can you talk about what voiceover film you're working on? Can you even say what it is?
I don't know.
You made a post.
I did.
Yeah, that you were working on a voiceover something or other.
Dark.
Oh?
Dark.
It's just something dark
voiceover
and animated?
Voiceover and animated and dark.
And dark. Mm-hmm. Voiceover and animated and dark. Mm-hmm. Not Star Wars related.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so you can't see anything else.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
I did my job, I asked.
It's a beloved graphic novel.
Oh, that
is all I'm gonna give you.
That's plenty. A beloved graphic novel. Animated.
And it's fun. I love voiceover work. You know, I tell all actors to do voiceover work. You know, I think so many times that young actors get into the business and they think that a certain medium is beneath them, but it all builds a better, well-rounded, you know, sort of chest of arsenal of skills.
Of talent.
I learn different things when I'm doing voiceover, how to use my voice, how to do things, how to change the inflection of my voice to do something and not have my face move. So you can use that then on camera, and it lends something to a character. If your face isn't moving but your voice says something, that's huge. You learn that kind of stuff in voiceover work.
Well, you're very expressive, so I would imagine that is probably a really intense thing to pull off. yeah, I mean, Doug Jones, one of my all-time favorite. Would you call him a character actor?
I would say yes, yeah, in my opinion. Yeah.
The man has built a name beyond his face, right? Like, his entire career is this iconic, historical, fantastic roles. And the best makeup you've ever seen, visual effects that you know, Star Trek Discovery. I mean, I remember when I realized that he was also in, what was that movie with the three witches in the 90s that everyone watched?
Hocus Pocus?
Oh, Hocus Pocus.
It was They're making a new one!
They are. And he's like, if you look him up on Instagram, he's like 65 years old and he looks amazing. He's ripped to the bones. Yeah, but he built an entire career beyond, you know, just his face.
I think it's smart. I think that it in order to create longevity in this business, which is the goal, you have to diversify yourself. And if you don't, you're constantly just leaning on, you know, other people to give you a job in the one thing that they know that you can do.
Yeah, and you don't want to be, pigeonholed in this industry?
Not really. I mean, to a certain extent, yes. Being pigeonholed is actually, in my opinion, not a bad thing. You know, you do one thing so well that you get hired to do it over and over and over again until you have the power to make them let you do something else. It's a different way to go about it, but it still, you know, in my opinion, you know, gives you the same end result, potentially.
Well, I can't thank you enough for doing this. It's been absolutely fun. You don't have to leave right now. We can finish our pours. But I want to be respectful of your time. It's been a long day, and you've got Father's Day. My Father's Day is Sunday. I'm not flying back tomorrow. I'm going to try to drive home at like 5 a.m.
Okay.
But
I have Father's Day all planned.
You guys are newlyweds. You're still doing big stuff, right?
I mean, I had this like really cool idea, and this isn't gonna come out, so he'll already have experienced
sure.
it. I wanted to go, my husband barbecues, so I wanted to take my daughter to paint a tray for him and get it like fired so
sure.
he could use it. And I was like, how fun. I'm gonna just take her and let her just like do whatever the heck she wants. She's 6 months old. It's not gonna be pretty, but it'll be really cute, right? And then I was like, I should actually take him to do that because then it'll like actually
it'll be a memory.
Mean something to him.
Right.
So I have this like cute little outfit I got for her on Etsy that's like a little tutu that says Daddy's First, Father's Day, and like a little headband and like some gold glitter shoes. And I'm just gonna take them to Color Me Mine and let the two of them go crazy on this thing. And it'll be more fun. So I'm excited.
I told my wife that I don't wanna leave the bed, like I just wanna sit and watch TV. And if she could make me some garlic mashed potatoes, that'd be nice. That's how deep
that's what happens after 16 years.
That's how deep in the fatherhood. I just want to be left alone. Yeah. For Mother's Day this year, she said, I just don't want to do anything I do every day. So
oh, yeah.
So we stayed home and I I didn't cook. I ordered in all
well,
of
listen,
the meals. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Because I can't cook. I've tried
okay.
to cook, I can't cook. But I ordered all of the meals, and then she just got to, and then we, you know, foot rubs and back massages and bottles of wine and that sort of thing. But it was just like, at this point, we just want a non-stressful day, you know?
It's true. Yeah. It's, the best thing that we ever did, because we actually sleep. I don't know how
Not
old
recently.
Well, no, we do. So our daughter brilliantly sleeps through the night. She sleeps 12 hours every night.
Oh, man.
Because there's this woman on Instagram that, like, I hate people that give mom advice. I'm not giving you mom advice. I swear to criminy, I'm not. But if I were ever to give you mom advice and you have a hard sleeper.
You're giving me mom advice and I'm asking
there is,
for it.
There is a woman on Instagram taking care of babies. Like, her name is Kara. This woman is a genius. And every time we get to a point where our daughter stops sleeping through the night or she gets to like a leap or something, we watch one of her sleep studies or sleep courses. And within a day, our daughter's sleeping all the way through the night again. She is, she just knows, and she makes it things so easy and like explains it to you, why your baby's crying, what they want, things like, you know, we learned that when they get to a certain age, you don't need to feed them at night anymore. Like the fact that you're feeding them at night is actually just
your own schedule.
Yeah. So you need to stop. They'll make it. They'll be fine. It's 12 hours. They're okay. Little things like that where we're like, oh my God, game changer. And so the trick though is that now we need to go to bed at 6:30 to get 12 hours of sleep instead of midnight and then wake up at 6.
If I were to give dad advice, and I'm not giving dad advice, if there is one thing that I will say I think is the best thing we've done as parents, and it's the best thing that 80s parents did, was latchkey kids.
Latchkey kids, amazing. People used to make fun of latchkey kids.
During the school year, my wife has to get up super early, take the kids to school, because I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, mommy gets to sleep in, and nothing really changes.
Yeah.
The kids will get up on their own, five and six, they get up on their own, they go to the living room. The 6-year-old can pour her and her brother a bowl of cereal. They don't need anything.
Yeah.
They're completely self-sufficient, and mom can sleep in. There's been a couple exhausting days where mom slept in to 10.
Amazing.
I'm like, absolutely, enjoy it.
Amazing.
You know, during the school year, it's hard.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
And God forbid if you've got kids in one in high, you know, high school and elementary.
Yeah.
So. All right. Enough parent talk. Thanks for coming to do this. Thanks so much for your time.
And
it was really nice to see you again.
Oh, so nice to see you.
Cheers.